we celebrate this day that our Lord Jesus, our resurrected and ascended Lord, fulfilled his promise to us, his people, by giving to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God to indwell our lives, to empower our lives, that we might do what we cannot do by our own strength, by our own effort, but by the power of the Spirit of God within us, God is able to do abundantly far more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this day, make us aware of your presence. Make us aware of your indwelling. Allow it to give us comfort. Allow us to experience the strength and the courage and the knowledge that we might know where we are to go and what we are to do to serve and honor you and to tell the world about the magnificent deeds of you, our Lord and God. Amen. In the gospel lesson today, Jesus offers them a living water, that out of them streams of living water will flow. And then he says in the text that he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our confusion about the text and certain ideas and about the Holy Spirit and how often that has been discussed in the life of the church over the years, we make the mistake of thinking that that indwelling Spirit is just for us. We make the mistake often in our faith, thinking that things are given or done just for us. We forget we're a part of the body of Christ. We forget that what that Spirit does is gives us a family, a place where we belong, and that Spirit is at work within the family. And he's at work in and through us so that others are blessed, that streams of living water will flow from us. The Spirit of God, the presence of God will flow through us. It will be in our words and in our actions that others can be embraced by the power of God because of our witness, because of what we do, or I should say, because of what God does in and through us. We rely on his life-giving water and word and Spirit. Psalm 25, which we did not read today, but is a sign for today, is a beautiful psalm. I encourage you to spend some time in Psalm 25 and just be blessed by it. But listen to verses 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. The truth is that the people of God have always longed to know, what does God want me to do? Maybe it goes back to the very question of, who am I and why am I here? What is my purpose? But we recognize when we understand that God is God, that God gives us purpose, that God gives us identity. And so throughout the scripture, we see the people of God seeking the direction of God. Sometimes we're not always good about following that direction. Sometimes it's hard for us to discern the voice of God in our lives over and against our own voice or the voice of others. But one of the most beautiful prayers we can pray is, Lord, show me your will. Guide me. Be a light to my path that I might follow you. And that understanding flows through these Pentecost texts, that the people of God are coming with an understanding, with a willingness to say, Lord, what do you have for me? That the apostles following the ascension are waiting in Jerusalem so that God will reveal himself, that he will come in the power of his Spirit so that they will both know and be able to do that which Jesus has told them to do. Numbers said this. Moses said to him, that is, Joshua, "Joshua, are you jealous since I gave my Spirit to others? Are you jealous for my sake?" And then this is Moses' wisdom. "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." Moses, very early on, now granted, out of his own frustration, out of his own weariness, out of his own being overwhelmed, and let me tell you, there are many times in the church when we feel overwhelmed, either as pastors or as leadership council or as ministry leaders, there are times when the task ahead of us is just overwhelming. Well, when Moses was overwhelmed with the help of his father-in-law, he asked God for help. And God, even though he had already given the full measure of his Spirit to Moses, that is, he had all the power of the Spirit he needed, decided to distribute that Spirit to the 70 so that they could help with the leadership of the people of Israel. And Moses thinks, man, would it be wonderful if every follower of God, of every child of God, had the Spirit, the very thing that was fulfilled on that Pentecost Sunday in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost is for us in the Christian church the birthday of the church. The apostles were commissioned by Jesus to go and make disciples. They had this calling on their lives to go and bring all people of all races, of all tribes, of all types, to become followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. And yet they were told to wait. Jesus knew right away that they weren't going to be able to do what he was asking them to do in their own strength. He had a realistic understanding of who he was talking to, of their shortcomings. But he also knew what the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit could do in and through them. And so in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says this, And while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The other thing we see in Psalm 25 is this calling that we find often in Scripture. It says, wait on the Lord. I actually think that might be one of the harder things to do in this life. I think we're just so eager to run ahead. We're so eager for things to change, for results to come, that we fail to wait. To get that extra measure of clarity in the promptings of the Holy Spirit. To get that extra measure of understanding in the midst of the body of Christ as we share together what we hear God saying in his word and in our prayers and in our lives, that we can hold one another accountable, that we can bring one another to clarity, that we can lift one another to a deeper and clearer understanding so that we can work together to do that which we together are called to do. The Great Commission is a great commission for the whole church, and it's a commission that we do together as we make disciples of all nations. It is empowered by the very presence of God dwelling in us. There's also an allusion in this text. In John, it says that Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And we refer to Pentecost as the birthday of the church. So we hear in this text an allusion that takes us back to the creation story. In Genesis 2, it said, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." The church became the living body of Christ when God's Spirit entered his people, the church. We remember that that word breath is the same word as the word spirit and wind. And so whenever we hear that word, we recognize the breath of God's presence, that God's presence is the very thing that gives us life. We started this sermon section of worship today with the song Forever, and it kind of took us to that darker place, that place of disappointment and discouragement that was surely there for the apostles as Jesus died on the cross and was buried. And over the course of those 3 days when they wondered, you know, what now? We think about the depth of discouragement that comes in our own lives, and we wonder, how do we move forward? How do we find the energy or the encouragement or the second wind to do that which God is calling us to do? Might I suggest that that second wind is the very spirit, breath of God. It's the wind in our sails that carries us forward. And as we mix all those metaphors about spirit and breath and wind, we understand that there's a propulsion that happens, a guiding and directing empowerment that comes from the presence of God in the midst of us and in us for the sake of God's glory. I'm always tempted to say about Pentecost, and earlier in my career I said many times, that Pentecost is the birthday of the church, forgetting that Pentecost didn't start in Acts chapter 2. Pentecost had been a feast of the people of God throughout the Old Testament. Shavuot is what they call it, and I'm not great at pronouncing Hebrew, but I gave it my best shot there. This time of celebrating the harvest, from the first picking of the harvest to the full ingathering of the harvest, it's a time when the people of God give thanks for the provision of God. And there are also, in some later understandings, and possibly in Jesus' time as well, that it was a time to celebrate God's giving of the law. And so there's this 50-day period or 49-day period up to Pentecost, the 50th day, when the people of God are seeking to prepare their hearts and minds. They're seeking to repent, to rid themselves of sin. It's very much like the Christian journey of Lent. And so one of the things they refer to then is the counting of the Omer, that there's this anticipation building over these 49 days of what's going to happen when God reveals himself, in their case, in the law, in the giving of the law to Moses, which I argue created the identity for the people of Israel as the people of God. They would live God's way. They would reflect God's values and God's presence. Omer is a Hebrew word, and it means sheaves of harvest crops. So again, a part of this harvest ingathering, a part of this provision of God, and yet an anticipation of an even greater provision of God in redemption, in forgiveness, and in power and strength to be God's people. In order to purify them from evil and uncleanliness, it signified a preparation for receiving the Torah. Some saw it as a period to reflect on how to become better people. They taught that each week of the Omer should be dedicated to a different spiritual quality, like kindness or strength or balance or, or confidence. In Jesus' day, or just after Jesus' ascension, as the disciples are gathering, they're following the Jewish calendar. They're in this period of 50 days of giving God thanks for his provision, even in the midst of the loss of their Savior, but very much in the midst of the resurrected Lord's presence with them. And all the people gathered in Israel in that time are celebrating this feast. They're preparing their hearts. They're looking for God to manifest himself to them, that they might live with greater purity and goodness and righteousness. And so when we see in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. They hear the proclamation of the gospel. And they hear it in their own heart language. Many of those people had come from other places to celebrate the feast. They've been dispersed for years and years. Their children and their grandchildren had been born into those other countries, those other places. They were raised with that as their now natural language. And they've come to Jerusalem to worship God, to feast. And then they hear in their own language the mighty works of God. The goodness of God for his people, for them. They hear that God is for them. That the forgiveness that God brings is a forgiveness that uses the power of God to purify them and make them righteous. Not an effort in and of themselves. Not that they've been working so hard to get it right, but rather that God claims them and brings them in and indwells them so that they are empowered to be the children of God. It's a new birth. It's a new beginning. It's a new covenant with God that relies on the power of God to declare us and make us righteous, set apart for his purpose, that gives us the power to do, as I said before, abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. That's the spirit of Pentecost, and it's the beginning of just the amazing expansion of the church throughout the world. And it literally changes human history as the people of God, under the power of God, do the works of God for everyone, for all nations. Again to Psalm 25. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. One of the roles of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives is to remind us of the things that Jesus taught us. It's to bring to our hearts and minds as we journey through our day the example we have in Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord. And so we get the encouragement we need to walk the path that he puts before us, to submit to the callings that he gives us. Sometimes those callings require great self-sacrifice. Sometimes those callings require suffering and struggle and a willingness to work harder maybe than we ever have. Sometimes he calls us to do the very things we don't want to do. But we're asking, we're submitting to our God and our Lord. Lord, show me what you would have me do. Teach me your ways, your paths, so that I, in your power, can do the very things that you want me to do. Pentecost is a new creation. It's a new hope for the world, as the indwelling presence of God is promised for all who will believe in the Lord Jesus. We don't have to do it alone. The Holy Spirit calls his church together. The Holy Spirit indwells us to lead us into the work of the kingdom. They were gathered to celebrate the provisions of God that first Pentecost. The provisions of God in the harvest abundance, the provisions of God in the law to call them together to be a civilized people. And now, in this moment, God provides the power of his very presence. I pray for you that you will be able to experience in a new way the still small voice of the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you, the strength of the Holy Spirit as he reveals to you the promises of God so that you can stand firm in those promises, so that you can respond to others with the love of Jesus and not feel like you have to be defensive or reactive. We are the church. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We are the hands of feet and feet of Christ sent into the world to embrace it in his name, to demonstrate the same kind of love that Jesus demonstrated. And we do it all because God, Emmanuel, is with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.